Our subject today is restoring broken relationships. Somebody said to live with the saints in heaven will be eternal glory, but to live with the saints down here is a different story. Getting along with people is a big deal. Big deal. In fact, it's a very important thing. And I want you to take a note at my first point here, and here it is. It's to realize the ultimate importance of restoring relationships. When trust is broken, when betrayal has happened, when division and divorce have fractured relationships, what do we do about it? Or shall we just allow people to continue in a combatant, hostile situation for the rest of their lives? Instead, God wants us to be able to put things back together again. But this will never happen if we don't realize how important it is to restore broken relationships. Now, the Bible word for this is called reconciliation. But rather than just use that big word at you all the time, I'm using the description of restoring broken relationships. So let's see how important it is. Here we go. Let's take a look at this. Whosoever shall say, "You're an idiot, you're a fool," shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, notice this. My goodness, this is really... Can you imagine God letting us know that when you start a fight with somebody, you call them an idiot or a fool or a jackass or all kinds of expletives that I would not be free to share on screen here with you, that there is great danger in this. It is a destructive force. Watch now where the scripture goes. Therefore, since after you've had this fight, this argument, if you come to the altar to give God a gift, and at that time you remember that this other guy, this other girl, has something against you because of the fight you just had, watch this. Watch how important this is. Leave your gift before the altar. Watch now. And go thy way. Now watch here. And first, before you deal with God, before you offer him, and first, be reconciled to thy brother. And after that, then you come and offer your gift. Sometimes the way to the altar is a long route. We like to just say our quick prayers to God. We're going to get along with God, but it doesn't matter if we get along with others. But God says, no. This is so important that when you come to offer praise or prayer or thanksgiving or whatever to me, and you remember that you've got something going on with somebody else that's unresolved, some other kind of conflict, I want you to forget me for the moment. Go your way, get reconciled to your brother, then you can come back and we can do business together. That's how important it is for us to realize the need for restoring broken relationships. Let me just give you a translation of this from the Message. Look at here now. If you thoughtlessly yell stupid at a sister or brother, and then you are on the brink of hellfire, because the simple moral fact is that words kill. Damage is being done. Watch here now. This is how you want to conduct yourself in these matters. Look at this. If you enter your place of worship and you're about to make an offering and you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you, watch here now. Abandon your offering. Leave immediately. Look at this. And then go to this friend and make things right. Restore the broken relationship. Watch this now. Then, and only then, come back and work things out with God. The first step in restoring broken relationship is to realize the ultimate importance of this. And that's what we're going to spend some time on. So I want you to see the scripture. That God is primary primarily focused on relationships. Watch here now. He cares about your relationship with him first and foremost, and then with your parents, and then with children. Relationships between parents and children, children and parents, really important. In fact, a man with his wife, a wife with her husband, in fact, our friendships, in fact, even with our adversaries, our, quote, enemies, and with leaders, and the list could go on and on and on. The Bible is a book about relationships. It's about, it's the manual on how to restore relationships. And so we got to understand that this healing, this restoring of broken relationships is so important that God's focused on it, and he wants us to see that for sure. In fact, watch this. If you go to the Ten Commandments, almost all of the Ten Commandments have to do with relationships. First one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Relationship with God. Look at this now. Honor your father. Honor your mother. These are commandments, the big ten. They're about relationships. And look at this. Thou shalt not kill. That's about horizontal relationships. Thou shalt not commit adultery. It's about relationships. Thou shalt not steal. That's about relationships. In fact, thou shalt not lie or bear false witness against your neighbor, and you shall not kill. All the commandments are about relationships. Even the Big Ten. Seven out of the Big Ten are about relationships. So that's God's primary focus. That's what the Bible is about. It's about relationships. They are that important, and it's God's primary focus. Now, here is a startling truth. Are you ready? Brace yourself. Sit down if you need to. Look at this. It is impossible to be right with God and to be wrong with any other people. And here's why. Every sin against a person is also a sin against God. We kind of think we can get along with God, but it doesn't matter about other people. Wrong. If we lie and cheat, if we steal, if we slander somebody else, it's a sin against God as much as it is against that person. Now, why would that be, I wonder? Perhaps it's because you're slandering, you're doing something evil against one of his children. I'm not sure of all the reasons why, but watch this. Back to the screen for a moment. Every sin against a person is also a sin against God. It is impossible to be right with God and wrong with others. Look at this. So we talk about horizontal relationships and vertical. The vertical is our relationship with God, right? Watch this now. Horizontal relationships directly affect our vertical relationship with God. Now, I want to take this another step farther. Watch the intelligence monitor again. It is our vertical relationship with God that is intended, that is designed to empower us to have right relationships this way. Getting in a right relationship with God demands getting right relationships horizontally. And why is that? Because every sin against a person is also a sin against God. It is impossible to be right with God and to be wrong with other people. Can you see why restoring broken relationships is so vitally important? It affects your relationship with God. Remember this. Leave your gift there. Go get reconciled, then come back to God. Aha. Now, here's another startling truth. I call it a severe truth. I guess most truth is severe, but this is really severe. Look at this now. That doing good to others, how we treat others, affects our relationship with God. Okay? Now, Watch this now. I don't want you making a mistake about this. We are not become Christians by doing good works, but because we are Christians, we do good works. Look at the scripture. We are His workmanship. He's working on us. Created unto Jesus, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In what? We should walk in good works towards other people. So watch here now. Watch here. This is an amazing understanding. When the Son of Man, Jesus, shall come in His glory, His majesty, man, His nobility, His prestigious greatness. Watch. He's going to come with His holy angels with Him. And then He shall sit upon the throne of His glory. This is about the final adjudication of every person. Watch here now. And before Him shall be gathered all the nations. No, everybody from all the nations. And He shall separate them one from another. Two different categories of people. He's going to separate them like a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. Okay, watch now. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left hand. Two categorizations of people here. Sheep and goats, right? Here's one translation. All nations shall be arranged before Him, and He will sort the people out. Just like a shepherd sorts out the sheep from the goats. Now watch this now. He shall put the sheep on the right hand, and those who are goats on the left hand side. And then the king shall say to them that are on the right hand side, the sheep, right? Come. Come on. Come, you blessed of my Father. I want you to inherit the kingdom that's prepared for you from the foundation of all. I got big plans for you. I got a kingdom for you. Watch now. Okay? And then the king says, here's why I'm going to give you this kingdom. Because I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. You gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and You gave me a place to stay. You took me in. I didn't have clothes. I was naked and You put clothes on me. I was sick and You visited me. And I was in prison and You came to me. And then these people who have been living right shall answer the Lord, the King, saying, Lord, when did we see You hungry and feed You? I don't remember getting you a hamburger. When we were thirsty and I got you a Coke. When, oh God, did we see you a stranger and took you in? And when did you not have clothes and we clothed you? Or hey, God, come on. When did we see you sick and visit you? Or in prison and came and visited you? Watch now. And the king shall answer and say unto them, now watch, this is the dynamic truth everyone must learn. Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Doing good to others is like doing good to God. So what's the result of this? There's this other group. Now the left-hand guy, right? Not doing good affects relationship with God. Watch it now. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, look at this, depart from me, because you're cursed and you're going into everlasting fire that I prepared for the devil and his angels. This is the category you're in. Watch now. Because you understand that Lucifer was once a good angel. He was one of the top three, right? And what happened? He couldn't get along with God. He wouldn't get along with God. He wouldn't get along with the rest of the angels. And so he led a rebellion. And he started an argument. And he started to claim, I will be like the most. I'll take over. I'll exalt my throne above the throne of God's. And of him, the scripture says he was perfect in all his ways until iniquity was found in him. And he led a rebellion, and because of that, he had to be cast down. He lost access to heaven and to the heavens, and he had to be confined and restricted. Now, that's why he's here and nowhere else in the universe. Now, watch this now, because you probably already grasped this, but it's important for you to know that, in fact, this place called hell is like the Alcatraz of eternity. It's a place of restriction, a place of confinement, a place where the worm dies not, the scripture says, where people could do their own thing without damaging the rest of the universe. An Alcatraz. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. Eventually, they are going to be confined in this place. To those who insist on not being nice and developing relationships and restoring people, they fit in the same category as Satan. Now, I'm going to come back to this in a moment, but here's what I want you to get. Let's look at the screen. He said, I was hungry, and you didn't give me anything to eat. Look at this. I was thirsty, and you did not give me any drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. I was sick, and you didn't visit me. I was in prison, and you didn't visit me. Now watch this. Then shall that group answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison? And when did we see you like this and we didn't minister to you? Watch. Then shall he answer them, saying, watch, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you didn't do it to me. Not caring for people is paramount to not caring for God. Doing good for people is doing good for God. Now watch. And all these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but those that did right unto life eternal. You see, God's got really big plans for you. Plans that will take eternity. In fact, the scripture says that we're going to rule with reign with him in heavenly places. Wow. That in the ages to come, he should show forth the excellency of his riches towards us who are in Christ Jesus. I mean, you're getting out of here. You're getting eternal life. You're going to get a new body. You're going to move through space at the speed of thought. That's right. Got big plans for you. But God cannot allow people who are unwilling to get along with others to go into his universe and to have amazing powers. Because this guy would take this galaxy and this guy, and they would want this other galaxy, and there'd be a war in the universe that would make Star Wars look like a firecracker, because the only thing that can be eternalized by God, according to him, is some transformative activity in us that changes from selfishness to love, from narcissism to caring about others and not just ourselves. Now, there are not many sermons these days about hell and judgment. And God has been so misrepresented, because let me tell you something about God. This wonderful person of God whenever the rod is in his hand, there are tears in his eyes. Methinks the toughest day in the life of God will be Judgment Day. And there will be those who stand before him, not for just seconds or moments in time, because remember, God's got all the time in the universe. You might stand before him for a year or 2 years, who knows how long. And it will be his last opportunity to look on you, you that he has loved so immensely, before he has to say, and listen to the words right out of the scripture. These are the words from God. I'm sorry. I never knew you. We never got it together. I'm so sorry. I never knew you. On the other hand, there will be those, after the facsimile of we've just described here, who got in a relationship with God and let God help them make relationships horizontally exactly right. And they did what was right, and God says, I'm taking them into eternal life. Because now God can trust you because you care about relationships, and you have proven it. But I don't want you to miss this point, that to do good for others, God considers it you did it for him. And as much as you did it for them, you did it to me. And as much as you don't do it to help others, you don't do it to me. And here is the big story here now. How we treat others affects eternity. He shall say to those on the left hand, depart from me. Go to this place prepared for a place of confinement, restriction, the Alcatraz of eternity. And they shall go away to everlasting punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. It affects eternity. That's how important it is that we work towards restoring broken relationships. All right. Now watch this. Restored relationships is the very reason Jesus came here. Now watch the scripture. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the whole world, through him, might be salvaged. Very watching. For all things are of God, now watch this, who hath reconciled, what is that? Restoring the broken relationship. Has reconciled unto us, unto himself, by Jesus Christ. Ah, that's what Jesus was doing here. He came to restore us to God. Now watch this. And he has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. He came here to do that. Watch it now. But now, this is our ministry. Now watch again. All things are of God, who has reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ. And he hath given to us the ministry. Our task, our mission, is to restore broken relationships, reconciliation. Take another look. This word, to it, means, in other words, it's a legal term often used in legal documents. It means this. That God was in Christ, and what was he doing? Reconciling the world unto himself. We're going to come to the rest of this verse the next time we get together. I'll mention it now, but look at this. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, but now watch this, because there's so much. He hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Watch here now. He hath committed unto us the word, the words that are necessary to get people reconciled to Him and to others, and certainly to ourselves. Now, here we go. Now, we, you and I, are ambassadors for Christ. We are His representatives now. Watch it now. As though God did beseech you by us. Now, this beseech, this is God urging through us. And we pray you, now look at this, in Christ's stead, we are functioning the same motive, manner as Christ. And what is the mission? That we be reconciled, that you be reconciled to God. Why is this important? Why is that the mission? It's because people are important. The most important thing on this planet. It's not the gold and silver, not success in business. It's relationships. It's people. It's persons. It's you. So, what we have to understand then is that restoring broken relationships, us with people, us with God, other people with God, and other people with other people, is the mission. It counts for eternity, and it affects every part of our lives. That's why we're studying restoring broken relationships. And watch with me here just briefly, because the next time we get together, our subject is the how. How? How do we do this? How do we do this mission? For the moment, what I want you to really understand as fully as possible is the uttermost importance of restoring broken relationships. It affects eternity. It affects God. And every person has such infinite value. How you see other people is really important. Here's what's happened to me. I look at people totally different than I once did. Even though they may be in my evaluation or somebody else's evaluation, not very smart or foolish or simple or even evil, they're a person for whom Christ died. He doesn't want to leave them broken. He wants them healed. So that's our task, to work with God, helping people get along, getting back to right relationships. And the next time we get together, we're going to talk about the how to do this. So what is the span of this mission? Who does it include? Who does it exclude? The answer is, it excludes no one. It includes your enemies. For the scripture says that when our ways please the Lord, He will make even our enemies to be at peace with us. Reconciliation is possible. We're going to learn the how of it next time we're together.